I just want to say happy Good Friday. Happy Easter, everybody. I'm so glad to be able to share the Good Friday message with you. My name is Pastor Dan Johnson. I'm the missions pastor here at Rocky Mountain Calvary, and I'm just excited. I'm excited to talk to you today and tonight, and we really hope that tonight is a time to reflect on the sacrifice Christ made for us 2,000 years ago. It's pretty wild to think. 2,000 years ago, Christ said some very powerful words, words that bring us immense hope. He said, "It is finished." And it is the battle over life and death. He finished his calling. He bore his cross. So that, in 2 days, we can celebrate the three most powerful words written in Scripture, and those are, "He is risen." And so we're here to celebrate what Christ did. We're here to reflect on the sacrifice of the Son of God. And I want to remind you guys, church, I want to remind you that what Christ did on the cross to his Father is very, very personal. It's very intimate. I mean, if you've lost a child, anyone who wants to sit and discuss your child's life is going to be carefully walking as they talk about your child, because it's so personal to you, it's so intimate to you. And the death of Jesus is very intimate. And so I want to start tonight in prayer, and I want to ask you guys, let's get our hearts set to talk about Jesus. Let's get our hearts set to talk about the cross. So let's open in prayer, shall we? Father, we just thank you so much for your plan of salvation. God, the moment that Jesus breathed his last, the veil was torn, and we were allowed access to the Holy of Holies. Us, we were allowed access through faith in Christ into your presence. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you. God, we come to you right now because of your Son. We don't come to you because of things we've done. We don't come to you because of a worthiness that we've got inside of us. We come to you because Jesus died on the cross. And he said, "It is finished." He did it. He completed his work. Jesus, we thank you for what you did. We thank you for your death on the cross. And would you glorify your name tonight as we discuss you, as we discuss your sacrifice? God, would your word pierce our hearts? Would it pierce our souls? Lord, would it grow roots? Would it be rooted and bring life to us? So Holy Spirit, we invite you into our homes, into our living rooms, into our cars, wherever we're at watching this live stream. Holy Spirit, would you meet us? I thank you so much for your promise, your power, your sacrifice, your love, your faithfulness, your goodness toward us. Every day your mercies are new, and your grace is what we swim in. It's an ocean deep that we can swim in every day. It's so beautiful. And thank you, Lord, for salvation. We give this time to you, and we give it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, church, what do you think of this awesome backdrop here? So I'm on the sanctuary stage right now. You probably figured that out. But I just want to say our AV team has been working so hard since this coronavirus came upon us. In many weeks, they're working more hours than they ever have before. And they're working really hard to bring us worship. They're working really hard to bring you guys the message of the Bible with excellence. So thanks to Billy and Dan and Jay, all of these guys, for all their hard work. Pastor Sean designed and built this backdrop back here, and to no surprise, it looks amazing. And what we wanted to do, you guys, is, church, we miss you. You guys can't come into the sanctuary, and we're like, I just only wish I could sit in your living room. I wish I could be there and share Scripture with you right there in your living room. So this is our attempt at doing that. And it's a lot of fun, and it's kind of restful to just sit down and teach the Word. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us on the live stream. And I hope you can join the chat. I think Pastor Doug is on the chat tonight. We have a ministry team on the chat room. So please join the chat, and please make comments, and please Just pray for one another, ask for prayer. However you want to join the chat room, you're welcome to do that. We'd love to have you. Today I want to talk about two crosses. We always, of course, on Good Friday, are going to talk about Christ's cross that he bore for us. He was faithful, he was obedient, he was humble and obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross, Philippians tells us. But I also want to talk about another cross, and that's your cross, and that's my cross. Jesus mentioned it many times, and we'll get into that. But for whatever reason, it seems very easy to forget that we have a cross to bear as well. Today, I was actually with some friends, and they were helping me out. And I said, guys, thanks for your help. I want to buy you lunch. And so I went to grab my wallet, and I forgot my wallet. And they ended up helping me today and buying me lunch. And I was embarrassed about that. But sometimes I think we can forget our cross just as easily as we could forget a wallet. And I want to impress upon you guys today that our cross is something precious. And that our cross, the one assigned to us by God himself, is something that we should never forget. And so I'm going to read to you, starting in Isaiah 53. We're going to read through Isaiah 53, and we're going to focus on what Christ did on the cross, and then we will consider our cross as well. So let me read all the way through Isaiah 53. If you want to follow along at home and read along, that's great. If you just want to listen, that you're welcome to do that as well. But Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Jesus did it. He died on the cross for us. He took up his cross in obedience to his Father, and that always blew my mind that Jesus, the things he said, the things he did, he even tells us he did and said everything because his Father told him to. He was obedient to his Father all the way to dying on the cross. And what does that tell us about his Father? So I don't think anyone on the planet today or throughout all of history could say they knew the Father more than Jesus. And if Jesus knew the Father that well and was willing to die for him, guess what? That tells us that God is pretty awesome. That tells us that the Father is pretty awesome. You guys, don't look at your circumstances to judge who the Father is. Look to the cross, because God is awesome. We're going to talk about cherishing the cross of Jesus and cherishing our own cross tonight. I want to read to you something that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, and I wish somebody had introduced me to this when I was first saved, but Bonhoeffer wrote, "The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man which is the result of his encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." And that's the reminder that we need to have today. But before we take a look at our cross and see, is it possible to actually cherish our own cross? I want to encourage you, let's take a look at the cross of Christ and what that did for us. Point number one tonight is cherish the cross of Jesus. Through the cross, Jesus won us the power of God, namely the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Through the cross, we become the temple of God, and God's Spirit lives in us. That is the most important victory that the cross could possibly win for us. Christ's cross is our power. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Christ's cross is the power of God in our lives. When doubt creeps into our life, the cross reminds us that we've been won, that we've been cleansed. When fear creeps into our life, the cross reminds us that God has overcome the world. The cross is God's power. Now, the rest of the world will look at the cross and Christ's command for us to carry our cross, and to them, it's foolishness. It doesn't make sense. It's the antithesis of human nature. But God wanted to confound the wise and exalt foolishness, and the cross is the power of God. We need to cherish the cross. Christ's cross is our glory. Paul said that he glories in the cross in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in anything other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's pretty cool. The cross of Jesus Christ has a way and a plan, and when it's fully effective in our life, we've been crucified to the world. The world doesn't have value to us anymore. We've died with Christ. Christ's cross is our glory. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Through Christ's cross, we can't even imagine the glory that awaits us. That same section in Romans talks about how all creation groans, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. We groan, even all creation groans, and they're longing for what? They're longing for the revealing of the sons of God, the redemption, the full redemption that the cross has won. I want you to remind you, not everything that the cross has won has been put into effect. Not all of creation has been redeemed yet. And we can't even begin to imagine that glory when all creation is redeemed to its absolute beauty and power. So Romans remind us that there's glory yet to be revealed in us because of Christ's cross. Christ's cross is our cleansing. Revelation reads, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." You guys, believers in Jesus, you got to know this right now tonight. You have to know this in your soul. You are cleansed. The blood of Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And it's because of the cross that the Bible can say, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he is justified to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Do you guys know that God is eager to forgive and eager to cleanse? That's why at the moment when Christ breathed his last, the veil was torn and we had access to God. It didn't happen 3 days later. Robert Heffley, just a few minutes ago before we started the teaching, reminded me, he goes, well, you know, Christ was quarantined for 3 days too. I thought that was kind of funny. I said, Robert, I got to tell the church about that one. But what Christ did when he was buried for those 3 days, he wasn't technically quarantined, was he? He went and he preached in hell. He preached to the demons. He took over the chains that bound us to death. Christ's cross is our cleansing. Christ's cross is our peace. Here's an amazing verse, and it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Speaking of the enmity between God and man and the enmity between man and man, through Christ, all of it can be abolished. The enmity between God and man is abolished through Christ and through the cross. We've got to cherish Jesus' cross. Christ's cross won us God. It won us God. Here's something amazing, you guys. I'm going to go to John chapter 20, and I want to read to you something. The first person that Jesus would appear to is Mary Magdalene. And if you remember who Mary is, Mary was the one Jesus cast seven demons out of. Mary followed Jesus throughout his ministry and fed him and cared for him. And loved him, truly loved him, and was loved by him. Mary goes to the tomb, and she's weeping, and she hears somebody say, you know, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Not knowing that it was Jesus who said that to her, she says, she supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. That's pretty awesome, pretty faithful, pretty committed to Jesus. Like, I'll take care of this, sir. Just tell me where he's at. I love Mary Magdalene. And then Jesus says to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. She recognized Jesus now. At first she didn't. When Jesus was first risen, he had a lot of fun with hiding who he truly was and then revealing himself in a dramatic way. And I think he was having a great time here. And Jesus said to her, because she's going to go to him and give him a hug and say, I love you, where have you been? And Jesus says to her something very interesting. He says, do not cling to me, for I have yet to ascend to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That's an interesting statement to say. I think if I were Christ, it seems like I would say something like, oh, don't cling to me. I'm going to go ascend to my Father, but go tell everybody, guess what? I've risen from the dead. I've overcome the grave. I've defeated sin. I've defeated death for all eternity. I've defeated hell. Those are amazing statements that Jesus could have said, but he says something much more exciting. He says, go and tell the brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You see, what Jesus did on the cross was he made God our God. He made his Father our Father. Jesus won for us God on the cross. And that's the greatest thing. The greatest thing he could have won for us. Often in life, when we're challenged to pick up our cross, really the challenge is to test our heart. By picking up our cross and following Jesus, we win God. Our relationship with God grows. Our relationship with God strengthens. And so sometimes a little bit of competition can happen inside of us where we set down our cross for something else, and we set aside God in the process. And here's the heart test, guys. Here's the heart check for all of us is, if the cross wins me God and I'm setting it down, do I really trust and do I really understand who God truly is? Because if I truly understand who God is, I should not allow anything to get in my way, anything to get in the way of my relationship with him. But, like the Lord said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we're in a battle against the flesh. But Jesus is saying, my dad is your dad now. And my dad was so awesome that I went to the cross for him because he told me to. And now he's your dad. You've got the most awesome dad you could ever have. That was what he wanted to announce. That's what he wanted people to know. The grave was secondary. Defeating death was secondary. But winning God for us. So Christ's cross won us God. So point number two tonight then is going to be cherish your cross. If Christ's cross won us God, well, then our cross can win us a deeper relationship with God. If Christ's cross won us power, well, then our cross can win us an increased power in life through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm just going to say it. If you have one Christian who's fully trusted Christ, who's picking up their cross, enduring the suffering, and following Jesus, and you have another Christian who's accepted Christ but isn't picking up their cross, at the end of life, which one will have experienced the power of God more? Is there a difference? There has to be a difference. That's why Christ would command us to pick up our cross. So let's cherish our cross. Let's look at Christ's commands to pick up our cross quick. Matthew, Mark, and Luke say the same scripture with slight variances, but overall it's the same thing. Matthew 16, 24 through 27, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. The cross that we've been assigned, the one that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was referring to, the one that Jesus is talking about and commanding us to pick up, it relates to a lot of reward. It's so important to God that when he comes in his glory with the angels of his Father, he's coming with a reward, and it has everything to do with, did we pick up our cross? And what is that cross? He's saying, pick up your cross and follow me. He's saying, we all know the cross was a method of execution. Jesus is saying, you've got to be willing to die. Simply stated, the cross is a willingness to die. But then he says, you got to pick up your cross and follow him, but whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life, i.e. people who pick up their cross, for my sake and the gospel's will save it. You guys, when we get together and we talk on Good Friday, we're talking about remembering what Jesus did for us. And when we pick up our cross, we pick up our cross for his sake. We do it for his sake and in remembrance of him. And we do it for the gospel's sake. So we're dying to ourselves for the name of Jesus and for the gospel message. That's what our cross is. Everything about this cross message is talking about doing God's will, just like Jesus. When he arrived on earth, he was given a cross. He was raised, we say, in the shadow of the cross, and he took his cross. So we, when we become a Christian, like Bonhoeffer's saying, at that moment, we're given a cross. And our reaction to that, if we're sober-minded, if we're thinking clearly, our reaction to that should be, man, what an honor. What an honor. I get to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. What an honor. Because all the world is groaning, all the world is suffering, but Jesus is going to use my suffering for his kingdom. All the world is in trouble, but Jesus is going to use my trouble for reward. What an honor to be given a cross. We need to cherish our cross. So Mark 8, 34 through 38, and Luke read very much the same. So I'm only going to read Mark, where Jesus says it again. Whoever decides to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. And now in this one and in Luke, what Christ is doing is associating our willingness to share Jesus and share his words to the treasure that we get to have when he comes in glory. And so he's talking about, are we ashamed to share who he is? I think every Christian at some point in time, we hear the Spirit telling us, this is when you have to mention Jesus to that person. And sometimes we're ashamed. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Like, well, Lord, I just want to, you know what, actually, why don't I develop a relationship with them and we can chill for a while, earn trust, and then I'll mention you, Jesus. And that's not the case at all. Jesus is saying, man, that dude, he may not make it through the night. So you share Jesus with him now. And don't be ashamed of him. And the generation that's with us today, and the generation that was with us in Christ's time, guess what? They're sinners. And they're chasing after idols, and they're wasting their lives, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear of Jesus. And so let's not be ashamed of that. You guys, today is such a unique time in the history of humanity. It's so unique. Never in the world's history has the whole world been on the same page struggling with a virus. Our economy shut down. I am looking at about 2,000 empty seats right now. And my daughter is in one of them waving at me. So they're not all empty. What a unique time to share Jesus. And praise God that he's allowing some instability in the life of a generation that is sinful and chasing after idols, so that we can have an opportunity to say, hey, guess what? I'm not concerned because I've got God. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, I've got God. So that we can be his children and we can have confidence and we can walk this life and we can share who Jesus is. There's never been a greater time. If the Lord allows, this virus will disappear and we'll go back to life as normal, and we could go back to normal life for a long time. And we might look back and say, man, I missed an opportunity there. And it's not going to be the same when we're talking about this virus and it's been passed. It's not going to have the same effect as it is right now today. To share who Jesus is today is more impactful and more effective because people have never been so unstable. And it's global. That message is for the whole church global. Let's get out. Let's share the gospel. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. And let's not be ashamed. Let's not be ashamed. But part of our cross, you guys, is sharing that gospel. It's all about the name of Jesus, doing it for his sake, doing it because he died on a cross, and doing it for the gospel's sake. So these different sections of Scripture, very similar in what they're saying, they tell us that we have an obligation to endure suffering for Christ's name and for his gospel. We have to protect against being ashamed or embarrassed by Jesus' name and his gospel, certainly now more than ever. And our cross is an opportunity for reward when Christ does return in his glory. And boy, do we long for that day. Another reason we want to cherish our cross is our worth. Matthew 10, 38 and 39 tell us, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I don't know, but when the disciples and all the people following Jesus kept hearing him talk about this cross, it must have just blown their minds. But what is Jesus saying here? If you're familiar with football, I've got to go to a football analogy because there's no sports happening right now. But the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is an award given to players who qualify for it, players who are worthy of it. Now, that award is given to somebody who's taken the blessings that God has given them and investing it in their neighborhood, investing it in bettering people's lives, lifting people up out of poverty. Doing good things for others is essentially the reason you get that Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Now, there are only a few people who are even considered for it, and only one person can get it. And Jesus is saying to us, if you pick up your cross and you follow me, you're worthy of me. And it's not a matter of just a few people who could be selected and only one person can get it. It's saying you're worthy to say to the world, I follow Jesus. You're worthy to say to the world, I'm a Christian. And when we set down our cross and we forget our cross, we set down our worthiness. And we've got to pick that back up. There's so much joy in being worthy to tell people, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I pick up my cross and I'm following Jesus. Our cross is life. Galatians 2:20 says, for I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ is our life. I'm totally dead. I have died with Christ on the cross and I no longer live. Christ lives within me. Our cross is our very life. And our cross can bring true riches. The Bible says that those who are faithful in the little things will be entrusted with the true riches. And true riches are riches that never perish. True riches are riches that are associated with God, that they last forever. So let's cherish our cross. So we want to cherish the cross of Christ, and that comes easier, doesn't it? We want to cherish our cross. It doesn't come as easy because with it can come pain, with it can come sorrow, with it can come suffering. But if we see it for what it truly is, it's worth cherishing. It's worth cherishing. Point number three tonight, we got to protect our cross. Jesus did some pretty amazing things, and if we look at it, he was really determined to stay on course to meet his cross one day. Let's look what he did. In Matthew 16, Jesus tells his disciples, tell no one that I am the Christ. Now, some of you may be the type who flip your Bible open and you point to a verse and you're like, I'm going to read that. This is a kind of a tough one to do that to. This is why we don't recommend the Bible flipping thing. My mom is watching. She does this and God speaks to her through it. And I think it's awesome. She's a godly woman. But it would be kind of comical if you opened it and that's the verse. Tell no one that I am the Christ was your verse for the day. But Jesus is saying that and it seems so contrary to his mission. But what he was doing was protecting his cross. Because we'll see soon why and how that needed to happen. Mark 3:12, Jesus even sternly warns the demons that they should not make him known. Why was Christ trying to be so secretive about who he was? He was protecting his cross. Let's look at John 6:15. John 6:15, Jesus perceives, it says, that the crowd was going to take him by force and make him king. We've got to protect our cross as well. And here's what's happening. If Jesus is by force made king, who's going to crucify him on a cross? His crucifixion is just simply not going to happen. And so we've got to protect our cross. But sometimes, you guys, we get distracted and we can abandon our cross because of an appealing opportunity. I think the opportunity to become king, it could be appealing. But not to Jesus. He already was king. But to us, it can be. Sometimes we can abandon our cross for an appealing opportunity. And sometimes that even looks like flattery. You can get distracted. You are on your path. You are making a sacrifice. You're carrying your cross. And you're faithful to the name of Christ, faithful to the gospel. And an opportunity can arise that you're like, I've got to take that. And next thing you know, you're no longer carrying a cross. Billy Graham actually had these opportunities come his way. And we know that Billy carried his cross. He was faithful to the name of Christ. He was faithful to the gospel. And but for many, many decades, he was offered other positions. He was pressured by a lot of people to run for president at one point. Well, the most powerful man in the world is the president of the United States. That wasn't a pretty appealing offer. I wonder if there were times when he really considered it. A lot of people told him, if you do, I'll endorse you. If you run for president, you'll win. Nixon actually offered him any position in the White House that he wanted. Billy Graham, any job you want, I'll give it to you. Could you imagine if Billy was associated with Nixon today? Can you imagine what that would have done to his ministry of sharing the gospel? But Billy's like, no, I've got a calling in my life, and I am not going to take these other jobs. I am an evangelist, and I'm going to share the gospel. So we got to be careful that we don't get robbed of our cross, because it's precious in the eyes of God. So protect your cross. Here's another example. Protect your cross from even your closest friends and family. You know the people in your life who least want you to suffer for Christ? It's those who have to watch you suffer for Christ. Your own family can tell you, no, God is okay with you not doing that. Why would you go into missions and have to raise support? No. You can do missions part-time, work your job. You're supposed to be a doctor. You got your doctoral degree. You're a medical physician. Why would you go into the mission field and risk catching malaria when you could be here? No, don't do it. And Jesus, if he's telling you to do it, his reward is much greater than any doctor or physician could ever get. So we got to be careful. Here's what happened. Look at Matthew 16, 21 and 22. Jesus tells his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed. He actually doesn't tell them. He shows them that he must go. He must have opened the scriptures and showed them where he was in scripture. And then in verse 22, Peter rebukes Jesus and says, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And sometimes God is going to ask you to do something that the rest of the world is going to say, no, don't do it. That's ridiculous. But they're not being mindful of the things of God. Maybe they're being mindful of the things of men. So we've got to protect our cross. Even our family, even our friends will step in our way and try to stop us. Jesus saw that, and he didn't let that happen. He protected his cross. John 18, 10 and 11. Peter again, here he goes again, right in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is being arrested, and what does Peter do? He pulls out a sword, and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And Jesus says to Peter, put your sword in its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Another opportunity for Jesus to be distracted from his cross. But Jesus stayed faithful to it. And we've got to stay faithful to our cross. So let's be prayerful. Let's discern. Like Jesus, he could discern that they were going to force him to be king. We need to be able to discern, Lord, are these people distracting me from the cross that you've given me, the honor that you've given me? John 18, 10 and 11, when Peter cuts off that ear, Peter had good intentions. He was trying to, Jesus had just told him, actually, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, I'll prove that wrong. And he pulls out his sword. And Jesus says, Peter, I got to drink this cup. You can't take this cup away from me. I've got to drink it. He was faithful to do that. Point number four tonight, you guys, ensure your cross. Make sure it happens. There's a lot of opportunities in our life where we don't want our cross to happen. And we'll be given opportunities to avoid it. We've got to make sure it does. And if we cherish our cross, we will. Here's what Jesus did. So after Jesus was arrested, when he was taken to his first trial that very evening, Jesus did and said the very things that would ensure that he goes to the cross. And it was an interesting thing. I don't know exactly how this happened, but when they were testifying against Christ, you can read about it in Mark 14, Christ's first trial. They bring all kinds of witnesses, and the witnesses are speaking evil of Jesus, but their testimonies are contradicting each other. And so it's not working. They're trying to build a case against Jesus, and guess what? It's not working. They're trying to get him to the cross, and it's actually not working. There's an opportunity for Jesus to say, well, get your act together. I'll see you later. But so then they bring more people, and these people are testifying, hey, Jesus said it. He's going to tear down the temple, and in 3 days, he's going to build it back up. But even their testimonies, the Bible says, were in contradiction. There's another opportunity to walk away from that cross. So Jesus does what you and I need to be man and woman enough to do. He says what needs to be said to ensure that he goes to the cross. He did that for us, guys. It's the most powerful moment in Scripture. It's powerful. Then people came forward to testify that he threatened to destroy his temple, and their testimonies didn't match. So finally, they go to Jesus and they say, tell us, are you the Son of the Most Blessed? And Jesus says, I am. Those two words guaranteed he'd go to the cross. The most courageous two words, I think, ever spoken by man. The Bible says, then, because of his own words, they decided he was worthy of death. How powerful. Worthy of worship, too. Jesus' own words ensured his cross. You guys, there's some times in life where we've got to say hard words that are going to ensure hard times for us. I think of some examples. One example is, hey, man, I've got a drinking problem. I've got to stop drinking, and I need help. It's going to ensure, you know what? You've got a hard path in front of you. Another example is, man, I've been struggling with lust, and I've got to overcome this desire for lust. And you're ensuring your own cross. You're walking in the steps of Jesus. Sometimes it's ensuring our cross is saying, you know what, I know there's something wrong with me physically, and I've got to go to the doctor. I've been avoiding it forever. You've got to go. You've got to say the words. But nothing happens, no positive change happens until we say the words. Ensuring our own cross. So tonight we're going to go into communion. Billy's going to lead us in a couple songs. And I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge you, church. If Christ's cross won us God, is it not possible that our cross, by carrying our cross, we can win others to God? I don't think it's not only possible. I think it's how it's done. I think if the church, if we all grab our cross and we carry our cross and we walk the walk that Jesus is leading us down, we're going to lead a lot of people to God. If Christ's cross led to the power of God, will not our cross lead to the power of God in our lives? I think a lot of us, we can go through times, man, life is dry. Spiritually, I'm just dry. Worship is dry. And I want to ask you, have you picked up your cross? Have you been ashamed of the gospel, or have you been sharing the gospel? Have you been entering into suffering, or have you been avoiding suffering? Often we haven't picked up the cross because we've been avoiding it. Often we haven't picked up the cross because family is telling us not to. They're saying, no, don't do it. I don't want you to do that. One example I know of, and this has been a few years now, is a woman who was married to a man who would not reciprocate any love. She felt like she was living in a house all by herself. And she was crying, and she was talking about this marriage that was just so absolutely hard and difficult. And her family, the people who loved her the most, said, you've got to divorce him. You've got to walk away. And she said, no, I made a commitment. I made a covenant with him before God, and he's my husband, and God's going to do a miracle. I saw that husband and wife and their new baby, huge smiles on their face 2 days ago. She endured her cross, and God did an awesome miracle. Enduring your cross is saying, I believe God's going to do a miracle. So I'm going to take it up. I'm not going to put it down. Even though my closest friends, my family are saying, I can't watch you suffer anymore. You don't deserve this anymore. So put your cross down. Walk away from your cross. Church, this is not the time to put your cross down. This is the time to pick it up. And so I pray you do. I pray I do. I need to pick mine up more often. Just like my wallet, I can forget my cross all too easy. So church, in honor of what Jesus did for us in picking up his cross, let's remember, he didn't do it for nothing. He did it for the joy set before him. Let's remember that when we were given a cross, when we received Christ, and that cross was laid on our shoulders, there was a joy set before us as well. There's an eternal glory set before us. What was set before us is greater than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. It's greater than anything in Hollywood could ever reproduce. It's greater than anything. It's the glory of God shared with us. Not only should we look forward to it, but all creation is longing for that glory. So guys, let's pick up our cross. Billy's going to lead us in a couple songs, and I want to give you as families, moms and dads, I want to ask you to not listen to me. I want to ask you to mute or whatever you got to do in your home to have communion ready and take communion with your kids. I want to ask you to do that and lead your kids in that. And I want to ask you to pray a prayer of repentance, Lord, for the times that I've set my cross down. If God's convicted you that you are guilty of convincing someone to put their cross down, I want to ask you to go before the Lord and just ask him to forgive you. He understands. He has grace for that. And those of you who don't have people to lead in communion, I want to lead you in communion. And after this first song is done, Billy's got a song to bring you back into relationship with the Lord. And I want you to hear the words and make it a prayer from your heart. And after that last song, I'll lead us in a closing prayer. So go ahead, guys, families, moms and dads, if you have kids, go ahead and press mute. And spend a few minutes leading your kids through communion. And for the rest of us, once Billy starts singing, I'll lead you in communion as well. Well, before Billy starts singing. Sorry, Billy. Amen? All right. I long for the day when I say amen and I can hear all y'all saying it back.
Amen.
Thanks, Billy. Matthew 26. Let's go to Matthew 26 quick. Verses 26 through 28, familiar to all of us. Let me pray. Father, we just come before you right now. Lord, many of us, we're just tired. The thought of picking up a cross just sounds like so much burden. But Jesus, you said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God, I just pray that our eyes will be open to see the glory of your cross and the honor of the cross that you've put on us. That we would see the privilege of the cross, the power of the cross. God, for those of us who don't really fully understand how wonderful and absolutely incredible you are, who are hesitant to pick up their cross because they don't really know you that well. They don't know you to that level. They don't trust you to that level. God, would you reveal them? Jesus, you said no one knows the Father unless I reveal him to them. So Jesus, would you reveal your Father in such a way that the cross would be so incredibly wonderful and such an awesome privilege because our God is so awesome and so incredibly wonderful. And so Jesus, right now, in remembrance of you, we take communion. Matthew 26:26 says, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Let's take the bread. Jesus, we thank you for your broken body for us 2,000 years ago. How you breathed your last, how they pierced your side. How you gave your body for us. Bread of life, you gave it for us. We receive it in memory of what you did. God, would we our lives be found in honor of that, of your body, of your sacrifice. Verse 27, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's drink of the cup. Jesus, I thank you so much that you drank of the cup that your Father gave you. Lord, we want to be worthy of you. We want to be worthy to say, we're your children, we're your followers, we believe in you. You're our Savior. God, we want to be crucified with you on that cross. We want to die to the things of this world. We want to be crucified to the things of this world. God, forgive us when we love the world more than we love you. But Lord, thank you. You know us. You know our frame. You know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you're patient and kind with us. We receive your forgiveness through Christ. We receive your forgiveness, the washing and the cleansing that only comes through the blood of Christ. Right now, we receive it afresh and anew. And we praise you for it. We praise you that we can say we are clean. We praise you that we can say, I am clean. Jesus, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We praise you. Praise you now. We receive this communion in the name of Jesus. Lord, your disciples, after taking communion, they sang a hymn. Lord, they glorified God. Would you receive our worship right now as Billy leads us in this song?
I'm coming back to the stars, to where I used to call home. You had my heart, and there was life in my bones. Where I could hear your voice, and there was water in my desert. Where you were my first choice, and I was stuck in your presence. I wanna feel the rush of the wind. I wanna hear your voice speaking again. It's been too long without my closest friend, and I need you. Yeah, I need you. They said that man's empty praise could satisfy my soul. but all I found were chains. In a life without control, still you saw my pieces, and you called them potential. Had no reason, but still chose to hold on. I wanna feel the rush of the wind. I wanna hear your voice speaking again. It's been too long without my closest friend, and I need you. Yeah, I need you. I'm sorry, Lord, that it's taken so long. I know you're waiting for me to respond. It's been a while that I've been gone, but I missed you. Yeah, I missed you.
Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. God, you're so quick to answer the prayer of repentance, to glorify your Son, to honor the sacrifice he made. There's no hesitation in you. The moment the church was born, you saved 3,000. And you're continuing to. We praise you for that. Our hope and our confidence is in your goodness. God, would you allow us to see how great and wonderful and mighty you are? God, would you forgive us for setting down our cross? Would you show us how to pick it up again? And would you show us the joy and gladness set before us that we can endure the cross as well? Lord, we know that for 2,000 years, many have taken your cross, even to death too. They've given their life for your Son, for faith in your Son. They've paid a price. And God, you're not calling many of us to do that today, at least not here, not in America. Maybe that day will come again. But right now, Lord, we live in peace. We live in freedom. We thank you for that. But God, should we be found worthy of your name, should we be found worthy to, God, follow you, to carry your cross, to just glorify your name, to declare your gospel to the world, and God, to not have any shame in doing it. Father, please forgive us for being ashamed. Please forgive us. We thank you. You're so quick to forgive. You're so eager to forgive because of what your Son did. And our hope isn't in us. It's in your Son. We worship you. We praise you. You're awesome, God. You're our best friend. You're our King. You're our Father. We worship you now in Jesus' name. We started with Isaiah 53, and if little thing for those of you who don't know the Lord, those of you who have not even trusted Christ for salvation, Isaiah 53 said it, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. We're all guilty. We all are guilty. We're born guilty. It's in our nature to go astray. Just like it's in the nature of a sheep to go astray. But there's forgiveness in the cross. And so if you're listening and if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, if you've never received him as your Lord, you can now. I want to invite you into a prayer right now. Pray along with us. Reach out on the chat. Reach out and ask people to pray for you. Let people know that you need to receive Jesus on the chat rooms. You need to receive salvation on the chat rooms. If you're saved and you've not picked up your cross, let people know. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you to have that courage, like Jesus had, to carry that cross and to ensure it. But those of you who want to receive Christ, don't hesitate. Pray with me now a prayer of salvation on this Good Friday. 2,000 years ago, on the cross next to Jesus was a thief. And that thief was told by Jesus, after the thief looks at Jesus and says, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus said to the thief, surely this day you will be with me in paradise. It was that easy. The thief cried out to Jesus and received salvation, and so can you. So let's pray. Jesus, I know that you are God. I believe that you died for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. I believe that your death, your shed blood, is the cleansing I need for my sins. Because, Jesus, you lived a perfect life. You never sinned. You're the sacrifice sent by God from heaven to pay for my sin, and I receive your forgiveness by faith. I receive you, Jesus, now by faith. Be my Lord. Jesus, I know that receiving you and receiving salvation, it comes with a cross. And Lord, I'm honored to carry that cross because of what you've done for me when I didn't deserve it. Jesus, teach me to know the joy set before me. Jesus, teach me to know who my Father is, that I could be excited about him and his plan and his will for me as you were. And Jesus, save my soul. Your victory on the cross, would it win my soul for eternity? I give my life to you. I give my sins to you and I exchange them for a robe of righteousness. And I live my life to glorify you. Thank you for my salvation. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would give me newness of life, that I would actually be born a second time, born of the Spirit, born of God, right now. And I trust that you will do this because you're eager to save and glorify your Son who paid such a heavy price for me. I glorify you now with my whole life. And I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.